Hi everybody and welcome to our special transfers episode on First at a Time Football TV. I'm standing in for Connor Clancy today. I'm Dov, obviously. You maybe not see me as much on this channel. You might do in the future though. And obviously with me is Nicholas Carroll. Say hello to everybody, Nick.
G'day.
No, I said hello. We're not doing Australian things. Right. So the reason we're here is because I don't know if you heard, but Leonardo Bonucci just signed for AC Milan, which came out of absolute nowhere. So I think we need to talk about it. Right, first of all, I'll tell everybody the details. So he signed for 40 million euros, I believe. He's getting paid 6.5 million euros a season, which is, I think that's made him the joint highest salaried player in the league with Gonzalo Higuain. And he's also going to be installed straight away as Milan's club captain. So that's what's happened. Nick, what do you think about it?
It's hard even to, it's still a bit of a shock, to be honest. It's incredible. If you had told me about this at the start of the week, that this is going to happen, I'd tell you that you're talking complete crap, because it was just, it came out of nowhere, like you said. But yeah, it's just shocking, but an incredible signing for AC Milan, given that, I mean, many would argue, and myself included, that in terms of form over the last couple of years, Bonucci has been the best centre-back in the world. And to pick him up for, I think you said 40 million euro is, you know, it sounds like a lot, but in the scheme of things, when we're seeing Walker being, I think, of 50 million pounds to Man City, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not a bad deal. I think Milan's done an incredible job. And all of a sudden, possibly their biggest weakness last season in that's defensive unit is almost their strength now. And they can actually build something off this. And, you know, you said he's possibly going to go in as captain now. And I think that's
not possible. That's definite. That was part of his deal. That's saying he is the captain of Milan.
Which is a huge confidence, I think, for the players around him. I think that is something, it's a leadership that team can now build upon. It's incredible signing for AC Milan. I'm bewildered as to how Juventus, I mean, I know why, but at the same time, it just seems so crazy to let go of someone like that who has
Will we briefly just kind of touch on why he's left? We've got another video about Juventus specifically, so you can go and watch that if you want more in depth. But the basic premise or reason as why he's joined Milan is, one, him and Allegri don't like each other much. He wasn't willing to stay there, and his missus doesn't want to leave Italy. Obviously, this is all kind of linked in with the illness of his son. So in terms of places within Italy where he could go, Inter, Milan, Napoli, Roma. I mean, it's going to be, if he wants to kind of stay in the same area, then it's going to be one of the Milan clubs. And for whatever reason, Inter didn't seem to make any concrete moves for him. I know there was kind of touts that they maybe cheekily put a bid in, but nothing concrete came of it. And that's why he's ended up at Milan. And this is obviously partly linked to the fact that Milan are just spending all the money. They've got all the money these days. They're like Floyd Money Mayweather, just making it rain every day. So you said Bonucci is one of the best or one of the best defenders in the world. Nobody's really going to dispute that. Certainly within the top three. Real Madrid fans will probably argue Sergio Ramos, but it's kind of by the by. It doesn't really matter. Like, he is one of the best, all right? And that's that. And he's came into this Milan team, and he's going to have beside him potentially Romagnoli, Musacchio as well. So he's got kind of younger guys there where, like you say, he's the leader. He's the guy that can kind of almost teach them how to be better defenders, because Romagnoli is good, but he does make mistakes. And Bonucci, when he first joined Juve, I've always been very critical of him, because I kind of hold him up to the Italian defensive school of Baresi and Maldini and Costacurta and Cannavaro, and he's not at that level, and I don't think he is now. I don't think he ever will be either. So I hold him up to that standard. However, since he went to Juve in those, what, 6-7 years, he's improved no end to become one of the best. So I think if he can pass some of that knowledge on to Romagnoli and Moussa Kiyore as well, then this is you've got a potential Milan back line there for the next, what, at least 5, 6, maybe even 7 years with Bonucci, because as we know, Milan like to keep their defenders till they're like old and can barely walk, so he'll be there for a little while. So let's talk about this in a broader sense then, in terms of Milan's transfer window, because that's really why we're here, because the Bonucci thing was just kind of an icing on the cake. So who have they brought in, Nick? Tell who's there now.
Gosh, who haven't they? Well, they've brought in obviously Bonucci in that centre pairing with Romagnoli, but then you've also got Matteo Musacchio, who you mentioned in brief, who's come from Villarreal. So an added depth to that defence. He's come, and let's remember, Villarreal had the best defence in La Liga last season. They led in just 33 goals, and Musacchio was very much central to that. He's just 26 years old, so he's still kind of at that point where he's possibly going to peak as a player. So to me, another good signing to have as that depth player. Then you've got Ricardo Rodriguez. You mentioned him before. He's come from Wolfsburg. You know, not probably world-class, but certainly a solid player. He's got a good cross on him. Andrea Conti, who we're probably all more aware of and know the kind of talent and skill that he has, the achievements that he had with Atalanta last season.
So, Nick, look, like, that's the defence. We'll stop there. We're going to do step by step, right? So... Yeah. They've overhauled their entire defence. Yeah. They've got a new right back, a new left back, a new centre, well, two new centre backs, although it kind of depends who play alongside Bonucci. And then obviously Donnarumma in goal, so is more or less like a new signing after he said he was pretty much going to leave as well. So, exactly, yeah. I mean, that back line is completely overhauled. It's young, apart from Bonucci, but obviously you need a bit of experience there, but it's a young back line. How do you see that faring in Serie A? Because that's been an issue for Milan for a long time, is the fact that their defence has been mediocre at best.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it's a great combination of youthful exuberance, but as you said, that experience, which is so crucial, and Bonucci can very much lead that. He will direct the play from the back, not only the defence, but the midfield and going forward. So I think it's a great kind of array of talent there. And then you've got those wide men who have the ability to go forward and put in some crosses in, put some balls to the forward men. So it's a good combination there. I think, you know, I don't necessarily think we should expect them to be the best defence in Serie A from day one, but they've certainly got the ability to become one of, if not the best defence in Serie A down the track, whether it be this season, next season, or, you know, in a couple of seasons to come.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think that there's the workings there of a defence that can really grow together. And I think that looks like what Milan's transfer strategy has been this summer. They've signed, I think, apart from Bonucci and Musacchio, the rest of, well, actually, everybody's pretty much in their early 20s. So they're essentially building a team there that can grow together, which I think will be to their advantage. And obviously, this is all obviously dependent on the coach as well. If Montella can get them all to gel and get a system right, then you've got the makings there of a potential kind of a Milan defence harking back to the good old days. So you can see why Milan fans are excited and they're all going crazy around Casa Milan and stuff like that. Right, going on to the midfield then. Recording this, Lucas Bilia has signed for Milan, so adding to their midfield options. And obviously Frank Kessié came in from Atalanta. Who else has come in? Is there any other midfielders that have come in?
Not any major midfielders off the top of my head. It's more, I mean, if you want to...
You can maybe say Hassan Calhanoglu is
kind of
attacking midfield as
well. Yeah, attacking midfield. So he's kind of an option in midfield anyway.
So, I mean, what about those then? So Kessié and Bilia are kind of the standout midfielders then that obviously they've brought in.
Yeah, and again, I mean, similar to the defense, I think it's a perfect combination, particularly those two, Bilha and Kessié, because Lucas Bilha, I think, to me, I think he was one of the most underrated players last season in Serie A. I think the control he has and the way he can control a game for Lazio and how much of a presence he was in that midfield for them. I think that Simone Inzaghi is certainly going to miss him, but I think he's a fantastic buy for Milan because we know that the Rossoneri's midfield has been, I mean, you could say poor, weak might be another word
See,
in
I'm
recent
thinking of a word that
seasons.
we can't say because we want to keep
Yeah,
this family
well,
friendly, but
I'm trying to keep it, downplay it a bit, but yeah, I mean, it certainly fixes one of those major problems, and it's going to give them a lot of strength, but control, which is key. But then you've got Frank Kessié, who has the ability to go more forward and use that strength, run with the ball, have some long shots. So I think the fact that Billy is there allows Frank Kessié to do a lot more. And I guess Billy kind of builds from that Bonucci, that experience, and that control of a game. I think those two, I reckon they will gel perfectly. And I'm excited to see what Frank Kessié can do off the back of that because I'm sure Montella will give him a bit of freedom to move forward and to have a bit of a go in the final third whenever he sees the opportunity, which I think most of Serie A would love to see, and certainly the Milan fans will be excited to see for next season. And then you've got Bonaventura, who will come back eventually. I'm interested to see how he fits into that midfield, but certainly in the last couple of seasons, he's been among Milan's best in creating opportunities. So, yeah,
A
again.
player I think this could really benefit, this kind of revamp in the field, is Montolivo, because he's a player that's derided by Milan fans. Obviously, he's their captain, and again, he's not my favorite player. I think he's a good player, but I think and he's always operated much better when he's not the focal point of a midfield. And I think that's maybe an issue that Milan have had when he has played. He's always been they look at him as a guy to kind of create things, but probably the biggest kind of example of that is when he's played in Italy team alongside like Pirlo and De Rossi and like Marchisio and guys like that. When he's in there, he can step up to that level because he is a really good player. But when he's asked to be a Pirlo or to be a De Rossi and kind of control a game, he can't do it. But when he's got those players around him, then he's able to elevate his own performances. And I think that's something with Bilia there and Kessié there and obviously Bonaventura as well. He can elevate himself, and Milan could potentially have the player that they thought they were getting when they signed him.
Yes, I certainly agree with you. I would, however, say is how will he fit into this midfield? I'd just say if we are going with a 4-3-3, I certainly couldn't see him fitting into that
Well,
a midfield
there'll be
three.
games where he can play. Like you're not going to have the same team the whole season, so there'll be games where this might be more suited to him and games more suited to Bonaventura. Obviously, they'll have supreme difficulty against Chievo because obviously that midfield and defence is just impossible to break down. But maybe when he's up against Hellas Verona, for example, then he can just pick them apart.
But certainly you wouldn't put him in the first 11 at the moment, would
I don't
you?
think anybody's put him in the first 11, which is really surprising given he's the captain, or he was the captain. So that's very interesting. Like every kind of possible formation I've seen, he's sat firmly on the bench. So that could be a kind of another good thing for Milan, that they've got a player like Montolivo to come off the bench if that's where he starts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure his experience will come in some factor, whether it be on the bench or on the field as a bit time player. But yeah, it's going to be a hard midfield to break into.
Right. Okay. Right. So let's look at the strikers then, because they brought in Andre Silva from Porto, Hassan Calhanoglu from Bayer Leverkusen, and obviously the big signing, Fabio Borini, has come in as well. So they've got, like I say, they're revamping this team from top to bottom. A lot of people are really excited by Andre Silva and Calhanoglu because Calhanoglu is a free kick expert, a set piece master. So that's something that Milan have added to their arsenal, and obviously adding in a top striker, Andre Silva, who's also young as well. So, I mean, what are these guys, do you think?
Yeah, I think Andre Silva particularly is very exciting. He had somewhat of a breakout season for Porto. He scored 20 goals for the club at club level, and then also he broke into the Portuguese team and he's been scoring there as well. I think 6 off the top of my head. But yeah, he's just 21 years of age is a key factor there. Like, he has so much more room to grow and to mature. So, you know, if he's doing that for a team like Porto, playing in Europe, he's had that experience. So he's played at that top level. There's a lot of potential there, so which is very exciting. I'm excited to see what he can possibly do there for Milan. Hakan Kolarov, I probably said that wrong, but as you mentioned,
we did try and get the pronunciation right before we started. We found a YouTube video that told us how to do it, but it's just a difficult name to say. So yeah. I feel sorry for the commentators.
It is CH, so I should say Chalhanonlu.
If we've got any Turkish viewers, could you put the pronunciation in the comments below phonetically so that we know how to say it for the phonetic season coming up?
He's as you said, very much the preferred for set pieces. So you'd have to see him taking quite a few free kicks for Milan through the season. But he's also a great all-round player, and he gives Montella some flexibility in terms of going between a few different formations, so it allows him to possibly drop into a midfield in an attacking form, whether it be on the wing or behind the strikers, but he can also play in that centre forward role. So he's a great all-round player, but also provides a lot of different options and combinations for Montella. So a good all-round player, and again, only 23 years old, so a lot of maturity still to happen there. So there's potential is a common theme here. There is so much potential and youth.
And Nick, they're not finished there, because obviously from what we've been hearing, all the little birdies on the internet and all our little birdies telling us that they're going to sign another striker. And obviously the three names we've heard so far are Morata, Aubameyang and Andrea Belotti. So it looks like they're probably going to bring in one of those three to kind of complete their transformation. So we'll put you in the hot seat, right? You're Nick with a checkbook, the Milan checkbook.
I wish.
Which of those guys? Yeah, we all wish. Which of those guys would you bring in if you had the choice?
It's tough because it just seems so ridiculous that we're even talking about this, to be honest. But personally, I'd probably maybe a bit biased because, you know, I watch so much Serie A, but I'd say Andrea Belotti, maybe purely because he has that experience in Serie A. He knows the game, he knows the opponents, he knows how it all works. And I think he possibly has the ability to gel a lot quicker with that team, with Montella's tactics. And, you know, within a couple seasons, I think, you know, we know what kind of talent he has. I think we all know the potential he has. And I think a couple of seasons there amongst such a strong, what looks like to be a really strong team that they're building, could be one of the best strikers in the world. So I think if I was a Milan fan, I would want Andrea Belotti personally. But honestly, it's crazy that this is actually realistic, one of these strikers even going to Milan, because at the start of the transfer window, I did not think this was realistically on the cards.
Yeah, no, I don't think many people did. Obviously, everybody's excited for kind of the reasons which was said. All the Milan fans are just looking and itching for the season to start, because they think that this team can challenge Juventus and Napoli and maybe Roma for the Scudetto. What do you think?
I certainly agree that, well, I believe that they have the talent there that can win a Scudetto. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But whether that talent can come together as a team and chase the Scudetto in the first season is a whole nother thing for me. I think the key thing is here, for fans firstly, they need to You know, be realistic with the expectations. Yes, there are some record numbers in terms of transfers, but this team needs to develop. You know, we've seen teams like Inter, for instance, throwing money out there here and there, but when the team doesn't work together, it's, you know, we've seen the results that can happen. So there's a lot of work still to be done, and I think the fans and particularly the club management need to be patient with this team. They can't just expect the results to come out in the first 2 weeks of the new season, and they can't be wielding an axe if they're not, you know, first or second in the league in the first 3 months. They need to let this team develop. So even if it isn't a title chase in the first or second even season, I'm sure the realistic target for them is Champions League, and they probably realistically need to be getting Champions League with this kind of money. But I think that's the goal. And then from there, you know, anything more is a plus. Mm. But
well, they can win the Europa League this season, so they've always got that to go into.
Exactly.
Right, Nick. I think that'll do us for a minute. Just tell the lovely people where they can find you on the social medias.
They can find me on Twitter. My handle is at Nick Z Carroll, and I'm also on Facebook if you just look up Nicholas Carroll.
There you go. Don't bother looking for me because I don't do that stuff. Right, that's pretty much it then. So obviously we do want you to go on to forzatimefootball.com, go and look at the lovely articles that lots of people have been writing about this and many other things to do with Italian football. And if you haven't already, we've got a Patreon, so go in the bit at the bottom and there'll be a link there, and we'll have some new rewards coming in very soon and a bit of a revamp and stuff like that. So go on and give us anything you want, as little or as large as possible, because it helps us do stuff like this more often and do other things as well, because everybody loves Italian football and we want to kind of promote that as well. But we do this out of the goodness of our hearts, and sometimes it can be a bit difficult, so your support is what we need, and anything you can give would be very much appreciated. So that's it. There's nothing else left for me to say other than arrivederci.